And now, a summer action film without special effects would be a bit like a call-in talk show without any calls. This weekend, the next movie in the Mummy series opens, and some scenes look like an expensive video game. And that is the problem, argues Peter Hartlaub, a reviewer for the San Francisco Chronicle. In a column earlier this summer, he complained that while computers might one day replace the entire Department of Motor Vehicles, they will never be able to take the place of a guy in a gladiator helmet flying off the back of a moving chariot. What do you think? Does Hollywood still need stuntmen and women, or can computers generated effects make the movie? If you are a stuntman or woman, we would love to hear from you. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog. It's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Peter Hartlaub is the pop culture critic and a film reviewer for the San Francisco Chronicle, and he recently wrote the piece Why Action Films Need Stuntmen and Women. He joins us now by phone from his office in San Francisco. Good to have you with us, Peter.
Oh, thank you for having me, Lynn.
So, Peter, if the technology's there to pull off all these elaborate digital scenes, why do we need stuntmen and women?
Well, I think precisely because the technology isn't there. I think that special effects are a great thing. I mean, I grew up with the Star Wars films and Terminator films and just being so excited with whatever was going to come next. But I think the studios have treated it almost like an arms race for the last maybe 5, 6, 7 years. And each one wants more special effects shots than the next. And you end up with, you know, the end of a film with two computer animated monsters fighting over a green screen background, and you know, we're not ready for that. I mean, it doesn't look real. It doesn't look real like a stunt or someone really doing something and then maybe having it touched up a little bit with special effects.
When did the studio, you know, sort of start to treat special effects, like you say, like an arms race?
I think when a movie's successful with special effects, one recent one that I think did a great job was Spider-Man 2. I thought most of Transformers was really good. I think when a studio sees it done well, they say, I want that and I want more. And I think they put a lot of pressure on a special effects house that, you know, to do things that just can't be done right now. You know, and I compare it to an arms race, but things have escalated to the point where, you know, I actually really appreciate it when someone takes a step back in a movie like The Dark Knight and just focuses so much on stunts and builds real sets and just uses the CGI as little as possible.
What other films can you think of that do exactly what you just described, that is, that give you more of a sense of reality around stunts than...
I think that Indiana Jones, the last one, while there was a lot of CGI in that, as much as possible, they tried to ground it in some kind of reality. There was a lot of really good stunt work on that. I thought that was a great one. I think one little scene movie that I really liked, the movie itself had all kinds of plot holes, but I loved the stunts, was The Descent. And it was in theaters for about 12 minutes, but I loved it. And I think it's going to hold up 30 years from now way better than, say, a Fantastic Four movie.
Now, this doesn't mean you're completely opposed to special effects, because I think in the column you said you actually sort of fell in love with movies in part because of special effects.
Oh, yeah, and completely. I mean, I remember watching just the commercial for Empire Strikes Back and seeing those snow walkers, you know, on that ice planet walking toward the camera. And I mean, I physically didn't know if I'd be able to make it until the day that movie came out. I mean, I thought I might collapse. I was so excited. And I still get excited. I love a good special effects film when they can do things right within their limitations. But too often they don't. I mean, I think probably the best special effects film I've seen in the last 10 years was Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World. And what I love about it is when I say that, people say, well, there weren't any special effects in it. There were a ton, but they were just so seamless, and it played in to help tell the story as opposed to distract from it. And I think it was just a perfect movie in terms of special effects.
But, you know, the use of stunt men and women, that can also be done badly, too. I mean, there are times when you know, I can't think of a specific movie, but there are times when I know I've been looking at a movie and thinking, that's interesting how they're shooting that person so you can't actually see that it's, you know, not Brad Pitt or something like that, you know.
Yeah, the bad wig when it's a
long wig,
5'4" and it's supposed to be Brad Pitt,
Yeah. If you were to... What is it, do you think, though, that the real people do bring to the film? Why do they? What kind of energy do they bring that's like that makes you appreciate their contribution so much?
I think stuntmen and stuntwomen, and this applies too to, you know, the people who do the pyrotechnics. I think the ones that I've talked to are so proud of their work and so proud of their traditions, and partly because they're behind the scenes, you know, like the Fall Guy, I'm the unknown stuntman that makes Eastwood look so fine. You know, I think there's just almost an uncommon pride in their work that, yeah, there's some really bad stunts in movies, but there's so many more good ones. And as they've gotten, you know, more and more, I think, marginalized by a lot of these special effects, I've seen better and better stunt work.
We're talking with Peter Hartlob. He's the pop culture critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. We're talking about the need for stunt men and women. We're going to take some calls now. Let's go to Ross, and he is calling from Chicago. Hi, Ross.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was actually calling because I'm an independent filmmaker, and I think one of the things that I run into a lot is that it's so much cheaper to do a digital effect as opposed to, you know, actually blowing up a building. And, it, you know, I actually got to work on Batman, the last one, The Dark Knight, here in Chicago. And I actually worked as a stunt PA, and which is, you know, the bottom rung, the bottom feeder of the production cycle. But nonetheless, it was truly, absolutely amazing to see that. And I have obviously seen the film, and it is truly organic. But when you're doing an independent film, it's easier to do, you know, a bullet or a flash or, you know, a blood splatter in a computer as opposed to doing it, you know, with a squib and everything else, because it takes hours of preparation and money and stunts that you don't have. So, I mean...
That's interesting, because I've always thought the special effects were really expensive for some reason, or added
They are and they aren't. I mean, you know, now that the, you know, my computer, I've done bullet hits that look very, very real. And it's just a matter of, you know, if you have the time to commit to it. And obviously, I don't pay myself, so that's, you know, that's a big, you know, side of it. But, you know, if, as long as $260 million budgets are around, then yes, Batman will be made and it's going to be amazing. But is that always going to be the case?
If I can jump in, I agree with you. I mean, some of the best special effects movies that I've seen are not the expensive ones. The Host is an example. It was a Korean film that had a limited special effects budget. It's probably not the kind of independent film that you're talking about, but it was definitely a lot cheaper than the ones in the summer.
Right.
And the special effects I thought were fantastic because they served the story. I mean, they didn't look entirely realistic, but there was no more than it needed to serve the story, and the writing in the story was good, and it had a real emotional impact. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when they use these computer effects to essentially replace, you know, plot and logic and everything else.
Yeah, to replicate reality, which is, I agree, it's totally not there. And I think the films that are successful are the ones that remove reality from it and try to go for an aesthetic and try to push the aesthetic of the CG or whatever it is. And those usually do really work out well.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Ross.
Thank you.
All right. Great talking to you. Let's go to Vanessa. And Vanessa is calling from Detroit. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am so excited. First-time caller, long-time listener.
It's good to talk to you. Go ahead.
I totally agree with your guest today talking about, gosh, I'm so excited. I'm flustered. I'm sorry. talking about special effects. I am a big lover of foreign films, and when you talked about The Host, I just got giddy about watching the visual effects. And I think of actors like Jackie Chan and Jet Li, who are true martial artists, or Tony Jaa, who are true martial artists, but give such a realism to the film that computers can just not replace. While I think effects are great for like a Harry Potter movie, for a kid flying on a broom, but nothing can replace that man or that person actually doing that stunt that just makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
You are a movie lover, I think.
I sure am.
What do you say to that, Peter Hartlob?
Well, I agree. I think one trend that I'm really happy to see is that I think a lot of directors now who are about my age, you know, in their late 30s and 40s, grew up on a lot of those Hong Kong films on one side, and on the other side grew up watching Indiana Jones, you know, the first Indiana Jones movie and Roadhouse and, you know, these movies. And I think they have positive memories. And if you look at someone like Christopher Nolan with Batman, if you look at Len Wiseman, who made the last Die Hard movie with a lot of stunts, I think a lot of the directors now who grew up appreciating exactly what your guest is talking about want to go back to that. And I'm seeing it more and more with films now.
All right. Exactly.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Vanessa.
Thank you, and you guys have a great day.
All right, great.
Bye.
Peter, I wanted to ask you, because there are also, though, those films where martial arts are involved that do use special effects. I can't think of the name of the film.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Right, where they flew through
Forbidden
the air.
Kingdom was a recent one with right. Jet Li and Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like they are, I guess some of them do know the martial arts, but then they expand upon that with special effects.
Yeah, a lot of those films I like, because I like them generally for the art direction more than for the special effects. But I think you still get that human performance, even though it's wire work, you know, being done so that they're leaping through the air and doing these incredible superhuman things. It is a real person who's doing that wire work, and that would be an example of what I think is, a fairly seamless, when it's done well, blend of the CGI and some real life impressive performances that I love. I mean, I'll reiterate, I don't dislike CGI films. I love them, but I love them when they're done well. And for the most part, I mean, there have been a couple misses. A lot of those films that have used that kind of special effects blended with the martial arts that have made their way to the United States are ones that are done really well.
Peter Hartlob is the reviews films for the San Francisco Chronicle, and you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I've got an email here from John. He says, special effects absolutely cannot replace real actors doing real things, and CGI can't really replace real models. CGI absolutely ruined the latest Star Wars film, for instance, and even where CGI worked at the time, like in Lord of the Rings, it looks pretty hokey now, like an outdated video game. And I think that's also a point that you made, Peter, that the special effects get outdated pretty quickly.
They do. I would disagree slightly with the Star Wars movies. I think I'm one of the, you know, maybe there aren't so many of us, but I'm one of the defenders of the newer films, especially the last one. I thought they had sort of a unified look. Yes, it was excessive at many times, but I do kind of defend those films a little more, and I'm a little biased too. I grew up with Star Wars, so they could make a Star Wars breakfast cereal. I'm going to buy it. But what I love, I mean, what I really love is Children of Men is one.
Oh, yeah.
That it was a director who was so talented as an action director that the tension that was built and the way that he shot things was done in such a way that when the special effects came, you didn't even know it, you know, and there wasn't that much. That's a film if people like, especially if you like the science fiction fantasy type stuff with a little bit of intelligence, I mean, that was another just really great action film that I don't think enough people went out and saw.
All right, let's see if we can get another call in here. Daniel from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, well, I just want to comment on the thing that real actors bring is the happy accident. And a good example of this is in Indiana Jones, one of the classic scenes when the guy with his scimitar is swinging the sword, and Indiana Jones shoots him. It's a classic laugh line, and it's great. Well, that's not originally how it was scripted, but Harrison Ford had been injured earlier, and so they're unable to shoot it the way they want it. So if you don't have the real actors there, you can't get those happy accidents that then become kind of classic scenes.
Daniel, it sounds like you're doing...
Right now, walking down the street.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're doing some stunts while you're talking to us.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let me ask Peter to respond to your comment. Well, thanks so much.
It's a good point. One of my favorite of the special effects films recently was Cloverfield. The effects were done by Phil Tippett from Berkeley, his studio, and he's the one who did a lot of the early Star Wars stop motion stuff. And what I liked about it was, okay, you know, you had to take Dramamine to watch it. The cameras are moving all around like Blair Witch Project, and some people aren't going to be able to get past that. But so much of it was done with handheld cameras, and the dialogue and a lot of the events that went on just felt completely improvised. And, you know, that's an important thing, I mean, that your caller just brought up. I think if you start scripting out every little, every little special effects that's going to happen throughout a movie, you know, I kind of wonder what that does to the improvised performance.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Daniel.
Bye.
We'll try and get one more call in here now. Let's go to Mike, and Mike is calling from Massachusetts, I think. Hi, Mike.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to talk about how the sort of the spectacle of it, and the you don't really get anymore knowing that you're looking at something that's really been filmed. For example, in Spartacus, when you're seeing the scene where Rome sends this whole legion of soldiers across a hill, and you're seeing this big wide shot of these thousands of guys marching in formation, and just how when you're looking at it, you're like, wow, that's really thousands of guys. Whereas, you know, like Lord of the Rings, you've got big armies that are clashing, but you know that for the most part it's being done with computers, and it just doesn't really have the same sort of effect.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Mike.
Thank you.
That was a good point because I think when I found out that, in The Gladiator that all the people in the stadium were, you know, half the people were sort of computer generated, I was disappointed to learn that.
You know? Yeah, you know, but that's always the question for me. If you know, if you can discuss it and wonder afterwards, it's like plastic surgery. You know, good plastic surgery, if everybody in the office is discussing whether you got it or not, then you probably did it right.
Right. Okay, we're going to have
that's how I feel about Gladiator. That's how I feel about most of Lord of the Rings, I think, was done pretty well. I can pick out four or five scenes over three movies that I was
Peter,
a little disappointed in.
Good talking with you, Peter. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, yeah.
Peter Hertlob is a film reviewer for the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm Lynn Neary. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.